Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, after roughly 307 consecutive attempts at getting the PS5 and not getting it, I can tell you right now that I now sympathize with Paul George for how poorly he shot in that last game seven.
It's tough when you can't come up with one.
Man,
I had an 0-for-27 Rockets run.
I had it in the clutch and everything, and I shot it off the side of the backboard wide open. This is the only way I'm not like throwing shit across my room, is because this is the only thing keeping me sane, is thinking like, well, at least Paul George and the Houston Rockets and their fans understand what I went through today. Oh man. I gotta say, like, did you watch Seinfeld? And did you ever, was that ever
not really
deal?
I've seen a couple episodes, but not really.
Well, there's this like famous scene in Seinfeld where he has a reservation, I believe either for a rental car or for, I'm pretty sure it was for a rental car. And he shows up and he gets to the front desk and he says, "Hi, I have a reservation here under Seinfeld." And then he says, "Oh, okay. Well, we have your reservation, but we sent the car out already." Right? He goes, "A very important step in the reservation process is keeping the reservation."
Like, yes.
Anybody can
having the
take
actual product.
Yeah. Anybody can take reservations. It's about keeping the reservation. It's very important here. He's just like, you go on to Walmart or where all of these retailers who are selling the PS5 today. And like, as you're filling out the information to make the sale, they're selling it out from under you. So it's like, anybody can say like, "Yeah, I'm selling a PS5. Here you go. Just give me your information. Give me this stuff. And then we'll just send it." Nope. Oh man, that's too bad. We sold it already. Like,
I saw someone who was like 0-for-12 on them today.
So Walmart did this thing today. Well, all right. So I woke up and the very first one was Target, and I knew I wasn't going to get the Target one just because like they had a really small inventory anyway. So I didn't even try for Target. And then Amazon took like, didn't put them up. It was weird. Amazon like never announced that they had the PS5. It was just like this one window that was like 3 minutes long and they were gone. Walmart did something that was actually kind of smart, and they said, "All right, we're going to have intervals, or we're going to have windows open at 12 Eastern, 3 Eastern, 6 Eastern, and 9 Eastern, right?" And in all of those intervals, same kind of thing. It's just like bots with the sneakers app, right? Where where you know the shoe goes live and then it's just gone. It's just immediately gone. And so this last time at 6 o'clock, I was able to get it into my cart. I was able to get the PS5 into my cart, and then the site crashed. And so at 9, I was like, "All right, I'm just going to keep it in my cart. And right when it strikes 9, I'm going to hit checkout, done, go." Right. And I got kind of screwed because our house, this is going to be a humble brag and I'm going to sound really shitty, but the house is a brand new build, right? And our address isn't filed with some of these destination places, Google Maps, Apple, whatever.
It's a new address. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a brand new address. So they were like, "We can't verify your address. Sorry, you're SOL. And so here I am sitting at, you know, at my computer holding a sign saying, "I just want a PS5. So anyway, but yeah, that was my day.
Hopefully soon. Hopefully soon.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole like scalping PS5 thing, I don't get. Because eventually, yeah, the supply is going to be there. I hope all the assholes that went and bought up all these things are stuck with like 7 PS5s in their house. And then their house floods on that specific floor where they have their 5 PS5s.
I suspect they're going to be quite all right. I don't think that story ends the way you want it to. This is America. This is America. I cannot.
All right. So today's show, we are not going to sit here and hear me whine about my PS5 purchasing experience. There are now four names that are tied directly to the Lakers in some way, shape, or form regarding potential trades: DeMar DeRozan, Chris Paul, Dennis Schroeder, and Victor Oladipo. Victor Oladipo is apparently going team by team and telling those guys in front of his teammates, can I come play with you guys? It's like being at like the kind of nerdy table and like leaning over. Hey, do you guys mind if I just sit with you guys, the cool kids? Is that okay? These guys suck.
In front of, yeah.
In front of your like quote unquote like lunch buddies. So that's the situation there. Pete can't get into specific names there. So I'll do most of the heavy lifting in regards to some of those guys or the actual guys. But seeing as the kind of constant themes here, their names that are coming up are Danny Green and Kyle Kuzma, and then maybe the pick occasionally as well. I think there's a point that needs to be made if those are the guys going out in any kind of a deal. So Pete, you and I were talking before the show about like, if those are the guys that are going to be involved in this trade, you kind of have to get a pretty specific type of player back.
Yeah, or at least pick one up by other means, right? Those are two of your big wing defenders. They are theoretically 3-and-D, but they give a lot more on the defensive end than on the three part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that's not nothing, right? That really takes some of the burden off of AD and LeBron, who can shoulder those wing defender responsibilities mm-hmm. in big situations in the playoffs. We saw them do that to an extent, but do you want them doing that over a 72 game season and playoff run, and in that playoff run be assigned to those guys from the beginning? Probably not, right? So if those guys were to go out, that's the flashing neon sign, right? It's wing defense. Where do we get our wing defense with size specifically, mm-hmm. right? If KCP sticks around, he can guard some of those guys, but he's also small, and he's not that comes into play against certain matchups that we saw play out a few times over last season.
Remember how mean it looked when he was trying to guard Kawhi?
Right. It was just like you can't even get mad at him for it, right? It's like, what's he going to do? So yeah, that's something with Kuz's progress. With Green is obviously very steady on that end and knows his rotations along with you know, his man defense. That's something that, yeah, if those two guys were to leave, I would be very concerned about our wing defense.
Yeah. Let's take a quick second, because I want to pick right back up from there, because even the three part, I think, is more nuanced than like those guys weren't hitting shots as often as we hoped.
Sure. Right?
So that's another part that I think was kind of missing from some of the dialogue that I saw on Twitter today. So hang tight. We'll come back and we'll talk about that. Today's show is brought to you in part by Built Bar. Head on over to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and save $10 off your first order, your second order, your third order, and however many orders you or your friends that you tell about this great product get to benefit from. They have great flavors, everything from caramel brownie. My personal favorite name is Cherry Barcia. The cookies and cream one is fantastic. And then they have the regular, you know, salted caramel is my original favorite flavor. And it's great no matter what you might be looking for. Are you looking to supplement a meal while you're trying to cut weight? Are you looking to have a little bit of extra protein to add to a meal if you're trying to gain weight? Are you trying to maintain weight by, you know, just having a nice healthy snack? It's going to be great for you. It's going to have you covered. So head on over again to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and save $10 off your next order. Again, promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. So I'm not going to sit here and stand for either Kyle Kuzma or Danny Green, right? I don't feel that passionately about either of those guys. But, you know, one of the themes that we kind of saw throughout the Lakers postseason run with Green especially was that even though he was kind of frustrating from a literal production standpoint, you looked at the box score every game or just about every game, and his plus minus was always among the leaders, right? His net rating was always among the leaders. And, you know, you kind of ask yourself, how is that the case when every time he's wide open, you find yourself just like with your hands on your head saying, why can't you make the shot? How is that actually a thing? Well, it's because defenses have to scheme for Danny Green being out there and being a threat from 3-point range. It's not like, one of the things that I was kind of interested to see from Miami in particular was, look, you kind of have to try something drastic anyway. Why not just leave Danny Green open? He's not getting anything.
And they did to some extent. I mean, yeah. We did see teams start to leave Danny Green open in the playoffs to middling success on those type of shots, right? Yeah. So, when it mattered, that was a thing.
Yeah.
And that I mean, he plays the vast majority of his minutes with LeBron and AD. Mm-hmm. So I think that has a naturally positive impact on his net rating. Mm-hmm. That said, he's not the only guy that plays most of his minutes with those two. And he always seems to be in the positive in plus minus. A big part of that is on the defensive end is knowing his rotations. He is a big physical defender. He's one of the biggest twos in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And kind of playing into the whole physicality of the team. So, yeah, I mean, I think that some of those numbers are a result of other people. But I do think that especially on the defensive end, he helps contribute to the best version of us defensively.
Yeah, he's very good in help defense. Like, he's very good as a rotational mm-hmm. defender. And, in that regard, he's valuable. And so, you know, you look at some of the names here. None of them, by the way, are big wings. None of the four guys that we're discussing, mm-hmm. DeMar DeRozan, Chris Paul, Dennis Schroeder, Victor Oladipo, they're all smaller than Danny Green, and let alone Kyle Kuzma. And
DeRozan has good size. He's pretty good size.
He's like 6'6", 6'7", right? So yeah, I guess he's about Green's size, but he's not bigger. I know he's a couple inches shorter than Kuz.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you kind of... And even he, though, like, isn't really known for his defense because it's not something that he's ever really shown at. But like when it comes to Green and Kuzma, I just think like the mere fact that on any given night they are able to kind of switch and lend themselves to the identity that won the Lakers a championship last year, and then are also the kinds of guys that opposing teams would really rather not see open. You know, I get on Kuzma about as much as anybody. And still I say that if he does reach his potential, he could be like a hugely valuable role player, somebody in that like 6'8", 6'9" range who can step out and hit 3-pointers and shows an interest in defense. You know, he has his holes, and there are times where you look at him and he's like, what the hell are you doing out there? But he also has moments where you say, holy shit, holy crap, Kuz. You know, he had moments against James Harden. He had moments against who else am I forgetting?
CJ McCollum. He had a nice minutes against CJ. Against guards, he's got those quick feet that like he can get overpowered by guys or mm-hmm. he can get kind of outcrafted. But if you put him in a situation where he's got to move his feet, he can engulf smaller ball handlers.
Yeah. And I just think somebody like that is very important. And again, I'll get into some of the specifics with the guys later, but a theme here among those guys is that they all are pretty drastic shifts away. Maybe Chris Paul less so than the other three guys, but they're all pretty drastic shifts away from the identity that the Lakers played with last season. They are, you know, they aren't very switchable. They do need the ball in their hands. They aren't particularly physical either, you know, and those things is exactly what got the Lakers to be so dominating to where, you know, the series would start and even heading into all of the series, right? Analysts were finding ways to talk themselves into, well, maybe the Blazers are going to give the Lakers problems. Well, maybe the Rockets are going to give the Lakers problems. But by the end of all of the series, the team that the Lakers were playing against look physically worn, like worn down, beaten down. And it's because they literally were beaten. And I think that's something that, you know, when the talks about Ibaka came up, I was thrilled about that because he's like a better Keith. And I'm saying, just keep that identity going. And just from a general standpoint, you almost never see a champion shift their literal identity in the way that some of these moves would shift the Lakers.
Yeah, that's probably my biggest concern going into this offseason. Now, is the way we played last year the only way that we can win a title? No, there are ways we can upgrade our offense, for example. Our half-court offense could be better, and do you sacrifice some defense for that? There's an argument to be made for that. That said, I thought that the Lakers' defense was their third star this past season, the ability to field a playoff rotation without a single subpar defender. And that was really, you know, that was really key to the run that we went on. And so I would love to maintain that philosophy, to maintain that identity, because I know we can win that way. Mm-hmm. Can we win without that, but with upgrades on offense? Sure, we can, but I don't know that we can. I know that we can win with LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and kick-ass defense. So I would love for us to stay to that. That said, the front office did earn some benefit of the doubt with me this past season. So I want us to stay with what we were doing. If we do not stay with what we were doing, I'll give my 2 cents, but I'll also let's see how it plays out.
Yeah.
Because the same thing happened last year.
Yeah. It's not quite the same way it was where like almost no matter what move the Lakers make, I won't be as upset as I was in previous iterations of off seasons that they've had.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because they've had this success. Now, doesn't mean I won't have thoughts. I'm incapable of not having them and not voicing my opinion. But yeah, they've earned some benefit of the doubt. You're absolutely right in pointing that out. It's just a matter of how much of that benefit of the doubt do they want to eat up in a trade like the stuff that I've seen talked about on
that's Twitter the thing today. Is if something like that doesn't work out, then you've eaten into that, right? You've used some of the capital that you have. That said, the capital is there.
Yeah. Let's take another quick second here. When we come back, I'll talk about some of the specific guys and the reasons why I'm not really thrilled with any of, well, one name I could see, you know, maybe being a potential one. And it's probably not the one that you think it's going to be. Well, that was super radio, wasn't it?
That was. I was like, wow, that's a fucking kick to break.
And you'll never guess who I would like to see on the Los Angeles Lakers. Today's show is brought to you by... all right, so again, the four names that were talked about or that have come up so far, DeMar DeRozan, Chris Paul, Dennis Schroeder, and Victor Oladipo. Three of those guys, I think, have major concerns regarding either their acquisition or their fit on the roster. I'm just going to handle this part of the show because again, Pete can't get into specific guys. So with DeMar DeRozan, I think he's my least favorite of the potential names leaked here. I just don't think you can go as long as he has in his career and not at all show interest in shooting a three-pointer and be, you know, a winning player given the number that he earns cap-wise. The LA story is an interesting one. If anybody can make it work, maybe it's LeBron and maybe it's AD. But, you know, we saw what opposing defenses were doing when, like, Rajon Rondo or Alex Caruso and guys like that were out there. And AD and LeBron were forced to play in telephone booths. And I just don't think that's something that I would really want to mess with. And if you do go in that direction, you really have to supply shooting elsewhere. And if you do that, if you do the reported trade of Danny Green and Kyle Kuzma for DeMar DeRozan, where there goes your best shooter. and you know, that's the kind of guy that, like, if you could land DeRozan, I don't think it's even possible without giving up Danny Green. Maybe it's a sign and trade for KCP or something like that. Then I might be willing to listen. I'd be willing to listen on some of that. But if you're sending out you know, one of your, maybe your actual best shooter and then another good wing defender and not getting a wing defender back, I'm a little nervous. And then you really, you know, you really have your work cut out for you in terms of making up for that elsewhere. Chris Paul, great player, Hall of Famer, one of the best point guards we will ever see. He's making $38 million. And that means you have to cut into a giant chunk of your rotation, not just from a standpoint of like OKC is demanding X, Y, and Z assets. They just want you to match salaries and have those salaries end sooner than Chris Paul's contract is going to end. And I just think while I acknowledge depth is overrated come postseason time, the Lakers had an identity where they could just kind of come at you in waves defensively, rotation after rotation after rotation. And when you have so much of your cap capital devoted to three players, you're going to have some ugly ducklings at the end of that rotation. And I'm not sure that's necessarily something I'd be all that thrilled to have. Oladipo injuries is a main concern. The guy I would be willing to see what it would take to land is Dennis Schroeder. He could be that, you know, fill kind of the Rondo role and be more consistently productive. We've seen him step up in some big moments, not too many because of the teams he's played for, but he's had some moments in the postseason to where, you know, maybe it's not the difference between playoff Rondo or regular season Rondo and playoff Rondo. But he's shown that he's willing and able to step up in some of those moments, and he makes a lot less money than the other guys. And which means you might not have to give up quite as much to land him. I want to get back to, again, the idea, the notion here with all four of these guys. Like it's still relatively early in rumor season. I would hope that at some point, if you're going to package Danny Green and Kyle Kuzma, you upgrade at that position, like at that spot in your rotation. So I'm a little disappointed to see that these are the four names that have come up thus far. But the Lakers aren't always in control of that.
Yeah. And obviously, like you said, I can't get into players, yeah. But anybody who the Lakers are rumored to be interested in acquiring, I'm watching tape on all of them. So once any signings or trades become official, my goal is to, whenever that happens, whenever we hop on that podcast, I can give you the full rundown, right, of what I think. So this isn't something where I'm just punting all the way, just kicking the can down the road a little bit. But yeah, so much of it goes to identity, as we were talking earlier, right? And the names that the Lakers have been rumored to be associated with are largely change of identity type of guys, right? Mm-hmm. And even if they're good players, right, it just means that we'd be a different team next year. So I'm very curious to see what direction we go in, and I'll make sure that I'm up to speed on all of them, so once anything goes down, you know, we can have a legit conversation about it.
Are you in, like, when it comes to the way that the Lakers approach this offseason, I'm reaching the point where the guys that are under contract and will continue to be under contract heading into next season, I'm not really sure. Like, you're going to have guys opt out. Like, there was a report that Avery Bradley is considering opting out. We're not sure what's going to happen with JaVale McGee. Rajon Rondo has already leaked that he's probably going to opt out. So you're going to have some of those changes anyway, but the guys that are under contract heading into next season, I'm not really sure I would mess with much there. I would kind of like to see them run a lot of this back, which is probably going to really surprise a lot of people. I just think
they did win an NBA championship after all.
They did. they did. And, you know, unless you have like a absolute home run of a deal, then obviously, sure, you know, if that comes along, then you obviously have to pull the trigger on something like that. But, you know, I just don't think we have to overthink this that much. When you win a championship, you tend to bring your core back for the most part and make additions on the peripheries whenever available. The Lakers have their mid-level, and it could go as high, like, depending on what Bradley does, if he opts out, it could go as high as 9.3 mil, and they could have the full exception to be able to offer to somebody like Ibaka. That's fine with me. if you basically swap out Avery Bradley for Serge Ibaka, and then you probably lose like JaVale McGee and also probably Markieff Morris. But like, if you swap out, if you make that basic trade there, I'm all right with it. That's the kind of move that a champion tends to make. It's with this drastic shift in potential identity. That's what makes me nervous. And like you said, Rob Pelinka, the Rambai, Jeannie Buss, LeBron, Frank Vogel, like they have earned the benefit of the doubt here. I'm just talking about like under historical context. With that as context, generally speaking, the kind of trades that we've seen aren't the kind that reigning champions tend to make.
Yeah. Yeah. Those change of identity type of trades.
Yeah. We'll see though. You know, tomorrow is going to be another day. As we get closer to the draft, I'm sure we're going to keep hearing all kinds of wild rumors about who wants to go where. We still aren't sure what's going to happen with Russell Westbrook and who, like, I think Westbrook is obviously a much lesser player than Chris Paul is right now. But if and when that Westbrook trade happens, I think he's being linked right now to the Charlotte Hornets. If and when that trade happens, that might be a bit of a tell as to what it's going to take. Like, will OKC be expecting any kind of assets in return for Chris Paul, any kind of long-term assets in return? Or are they going to be basically doing him the solid of allowing him to move on from a rebuild? We know it's going to probably take assets to unload Russell Westbrook's contract. It's probably not going to take very much to get him in return. So with these big contracts, the difficulty is finding deals to get up to that spot and still allow yourself flexibility that season and moving forward. So it's going to be, it's just starting, man. We still have like 2-3 days before trades can actually take place. Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a wild 10 days or so.
This weekend, I'm sure, is going to be insane. Mm-hmm. which is a perfect lead in to, if you have any questions about specific guys over the course of the weekend, send them into iTunes in the form of a 5-star review and I will answer those. We have a fun guest, slated for you guys on Monday, to kind of tee up this off season. So look ahead to that. That'll be for Tuesday's show. And then we are smack dab in the middle of draft and trade and free agency and opt-ins and opt-outs and all of that stuff. So there goes sleep. Like, that's honestly why I wanted the PS5 today, because I was hoping I would get it. I would order it today, pay for the advanced shipping, have it for like a day or two, and then be able to play without like that weighing on my guilty conscience that uh-huh. I'm trading in these hours for sleep. Basically, but you know, it doesn't look like it's going to work out that way.
Good luck on your PS5 hunt, my man. You'll get it over the weekend.
It seems like I'm going to need it. It seems like it's wild how little information there is out there on like, all right, when are they going to restock? Do we have to wait for Black Friday? Man, I needed more cap room. I should have just ordered it back in the. We ordered it way back when. All right. Have a great rest of your weekend, everybody. Make somebody else's. Stay safe out there, and I will talk to you on Monday.